Yeah, so basically what that means is that we start examining the scriptures and ask ourselves, when, as we know and we expect that Jesus is coming back, you see, we believe that Jesus will come back, and this is what he promised us, as the scriptures has revealed that Christ will come back for the church. And as believers, it is important that we should not be ignorant, And when you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, sorry, chapter 4, and verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "But I will not have you to be ignorant, concerning them which are asleep, so that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope." And maybe just to read it in NLT, it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And first, the believers who have died will rise from the grave. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with this word," or "so comfort each other with these words." And you see, we started seeing that, when we talk about, life and death, and the basis of the foundation that as Christians that we have confidence in our faith is actually because the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This is a foundational message of Christianity, that our Lord Jesus did not stay in the grave, but on the third day, as spoken by the scriptures, he resurrected. As prophesied, he was in the grave for 3 days. As prophesied, on the third day, he rose again. And as there is evidence, and that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, from the first few verses, it says that he first of all appeared to Peter, then he appeared to the 12 disciples, and then he appeared to at least 500 other disciples. And Paul tells them that many of them who are still alive today, and some have fallen asleep, but many are still alive today. And on top of that, he also appeared to me, of who I consider myself one abnormally born. I mean, born out of time, in that he wishes. It's like Paul is like, "I wish I was born in the time of Christ." But you see, God had a different plan, and God has plans for each and every one of us. And so he starts to teach the church and to tell them that, you know what? We need not to be scared about death. We need not to grieve like the world grieves, like those who have no hope. Because when we see, when we lose our loved ones, what we see is that we grieve, yes, but God is telling us, and he was encouraging the church that this is what happens when believers die, because we do not grieve like those who do not have hope. And he says, "I do not want you to be ignorant." And you see, whenever you find that Paul says, "Beloved," or the scripture says, "I do not want you to be ignorant," he tries to tell us that this is a doctrine. He's trying to teach, because if we don't know, if we are not taught, then we find that we become ignorant, and then the things that we should know, the expectation of what is to happen, we miss it, and then we will not be able to know about the coming of the Lord. And so what we see is that there are some events that take place. We can see that when the Lord comes back, which is referred to as the day of the Lord, when the day of the Lord comes, when the second coming of the Lord comes, what happens is that the Lord himself comes down from heaven with a commanding shout, and there's a voice of the archangel, there's a trumpet call of God, and the believers who have died will rise from the grave. So that means that what happens is those who died in the Lord, those who slept in the Lord, you know, will rise first. And that means that those who did not die in the Lord will not rise. They will await the judgment. And remember, we've talked about the white throne judgment, which is in Revelation chapter 20, where the dead will rise and, you know, hell and lake and grave will be thrown into the lake of fire. It is a second death, and everyone whose name is not found in the book of life shall be thrown into the lake of fire. So the dead that are not in Christ do not wake up at this point. And this is the point where we call rapture. And you see, you might have heard these people say that there is no word rapture in the Bible. But you see, when you read, when you look at in verse 17 that we've looked at, 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says that when the Lord himself comes and descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise, then the Bible says that we who are alive, that means that if it happens now, and you know, the Bible says he will come like a thief in the night. At any point, the Lord, the trumpet will call, and God will gather his people to him, and rapture will take place. Now, we don't know the day or the hour, and even when the disciples asked Jesus, which day and which hour will it happen? And he said, it's not for you to know the day or the hour, but when the Lord, you know, but it is, you know, it is my Father, because those are days and times that God has set by his own authority, but you will receive power, you know. And but you see, when he comes, when that sign happens in the sky, or when it happens, the Bible says, verse 17, then which we are alive shall remain and be caught up. And this word caught up is like the word rapturo. And the word there means that we shall, you know, to meet the Lord in the air. We shall be caught up. That means, you see, like the way a bird catches up, like swoops. So we shall be caught up, and the Bible says that we shall meet the Lord in the air, and what you can say, in the clouds, and we shall be caught up together. The word there is rapturo, where we shall be brought together and meet the Lord in the air. So there are those who will argue it is to welcome him or to meet him, but what happens is that the dead will rise and we will join up with Christ. We'll meet him in the air, and then what happens is that we now will stay with him a bit, then we now come down and have what we call the millennial reign, where Christ shall reign on the earth for 1,000 years. But I want to go back a bit so that we can look at what are some of the signs that this day will come, because Jesus never wanted us to be ignorant that the end times are here, and that at any time that this, you know, happening of, you know, of the rapture will happen, and that the Lord will come. And the signs really that Jesus speaks about the future are found in Matthew chapter 24. And really it is one of the chapters that is dedicated towards the signs of the end times. And if we can go there in Matthew chapter 24, and we will read, and ideally we'll just be able to be picking, because ideally the whole chapter speaks about it. So it says, Matthew 24, as Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. But he responded to them, "Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of the other." Later on, Jesus sat at Mount Olives, and his disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, When will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats or rumors of war, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Now, just before, as we stop there, there are two parts that happened. You have to think of this. The Israelites were so, you know, excited with their, you know, with their temple. And remember, this was not the temple that Solomon built, but it was a temple that was built by Zechariah and, you know, and Haggai and Zerubbabel, where he was told, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And this was after that destruction. But now they were excited. They were looking at the buildings. But then Jesus tells them that, you know what? Don't just look at these buildings. Not a single stone will be left on top of the earth. And eventually this happens, you know, in AD 70 when Rome comes to destroy Jerusalem and it is destroyed and the temple is destroyed. And that temple is yet to be rebuilt and will be rebuilt again when the end is also very near. Because what we understand is that when the Antichrist will come, he will make his throne on that, you know, he will say that this is where I rule from, I am God, and you should all worship him. So he will, so when, and you see there's a lot of discussions, you know, at different levels about Jerusalem. That's why there's a war over Jerusalem, and it still goes on because there is a plan, you know, to reconstruct that temple. So these are actual signs that we see that the end is coming. And then Jesus tells them that there will be many messiahs. Many false messiahs will come. Many people will come and say they are the Christ. And I'm sure we have many cases of people who say they are Jehovah, of people say they are Jesus, of people who say they are the Messiah, and they want people to worship them. And eventually they die, and when they die, you know, people say, no, they're still within, they've not gone anywhere, but eventually they are buried. So there will be false messiahs. We also see that there will be wars and rumors of war and threats of war, but don't fear. All these things must take place. And that tells you that you know, when you see the trouble that is happening in the nations, when you see how nations are going to war, you know, when you see how people are being displaced, you know, when you see how people are running from here and there, when you look at the famines, when you look at the earthquakes, and at times I always hear these people say that, but where is God? I mean, when all this suffering was taking place, why did he not intervene? Or why, you know, what, I mean, where is he? I mean, if he's good and all these things. But for me, I look at the scriptures and what they tell me is that God already spoke that this must happen. So when you see their wars, when you see their nations going to war against war, when you see, you know, there's famines, there's hunger, there's earthquakes, all these are just the beginning of birth pains. And you can imagine, and even when it says pestilences, if you look at, there will be, King James says there will be famines and pestilences. Pestilences are like plagues, huh? You know, like what we've gone through, the COVID-19, I mean, there will be more coming up, and different plagues, and that sweep many people. It tells us that since these things are prophesied, these things are spoken about, we must pray that God preserves us through them, because, and that we do not find ourselves in the wrong side. But we must know that these are the beginning of birth pains. And you can imagine when a mother is giving birth, when birth pains happen, what happens is that they get stronger. It becomes more intense until the point of delivery. So that means that all these things, the wars, the rumors of war, nation going to war against nation, is going to get tougher and tougher, and is going to get more, you know, intense. There'll be more plagues, there'll be more sicknesses, there'll be more famines, there'll be more earthquakes until the end will come. And it will gradually increase in intensity. Verse 9, it tells us, now then you will be arrested, persecuted, you'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers, and many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And I believe we can see and we know that all these aspects of persecution of the church, it's increasing. Not just here, I mean, go to various countries, go to India, you'll find there are districts where churches are being banned. You go to China, the church has to be underground. You go to the, you know, remember ISIS and all this, you know, this different fanaticism. Go to northern Nigeria. There is all so much that is happening that against the faith, and this is arrest. You know, persecution, killed, and you'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And one thing you'll realize that it's like all other religions are allowed, but then anything that relates to Christianity, the media will edit it out. I mean, you'll be told to pull it out. If you put on a t-shirt like that, you'll not be allowed to go, or you'll be allowed, you know, they'll cut you out. So that tells you that there is hate. And then we've talked about many false prophets will appear, verse 11. Sin will be rampant everywhere, you know. And this is what that it says, iniquity shall abound, and the love of many will grow cold. And this is sad because you can imagine, by this point, people should have seen the signs, should know that, you know, that the end is coming. They should be aware that, you know, that the end is coming, but it says that sin will be rampant everywhere, but the love of many will grow cold. And this is really the place where we need to watch ourselves, that our love should not grow cold. Verse 13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And then it says, verse 14, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the world, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. I want to just hold on there, and possibly we'll stop there today, and then we shall be able to continue on tomorrow on how God expects us to behave in those moments. We can see what is happening. There's increase in iniquity. You know, iniquity shall abound. And now you would, I mean, when you look at the media and you look at, you know, social media and Facebook and all that, you can see that there is an increase in wickedness. And it's like each and every day, the Bible says they devise new methods of committing iniquity. So sin increases. And what happens when sin increases, it also impacts on the love of many. The love of many will grow cold, but God encourages us that if we endure to the end, then we'll be saved. And it says, and the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole earth, so that all nations will hear it as a witness unto all nations, then the end shall come. So all these danger signs that we are seeing, you know, false prophets, false messiahs, wars, rumors of war, you know, all these are birth pains, persecution of the church, you know, people turning away from the faith, you know, the sin increasing, love of many growing cold. But you see, there is something that guarantees to us that the end will come. And what is the guarantee is that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end shall come. Some people always argue that, okay, ask that, how will, you know, How will we know now that the end has reached? The Bible tells us the day when God considers that all nations have been preached to the gospel as a witness. Now, it does not say that all nations will be converted. No, they will have had the chance to hear the gospel as a witness to them, and then the end will come. Now, one of the things you'll realize is that there are so many enriched people's groups in the world. There are many people who have never even heard of the gospel. Now, if we as believers, you know, as the Revelation says, the Spirit and the Bride, the Spirit says come and the Bride says come. And you know, the church says Maranatha, you know, which means, you know, the Lord come near, or come Lord Jesus, come quickly. How do we long for, you know, our Lord return, to return? How do we long for Christ to come back? Or how do we hasten that day? You know, or how do we make it faster? We make it faster or make it happen by being this witness that will preach unto all nations. And you see, with the increase in technology, and things will get better. And for me, what I know is that it's God's purpose that even there shall be increase in technology, in AI, in all these things. Why? Because it will be an avenue that God will use to preach his gospel to the whole world. And when that gospel has been preached, and if that gospel will be preached by you and me, then the end will come. And one of the things that we say is that, I mean, we also looked at that, if we don't know, you know, the teachings, if we are ignorant of the teachings, then we can now start behaving like those who say, no, there's no resurrection. If there's no resurrection of the dead, let's eat, feast, and drink, because at the end of the day, there's nothing after this. But you see, God does not want us to be ignorant. We have a responsibility. Our responsibility is amidst the persecution, amidst the wars, amidst the rumors of war. Let us preach the gospel. As we preach the gospel, let us be faithful to endure to the end. Then we shall be saved. Yeah, so I will stop there and welcome any reflections for today. Welcome, my brother.
Thanks, Dr. Martin. Yeah. It's quite clear, and thanks for that reminder. Indeed, there is seem to be fast approaching, because we see all the signs that Christ shared with that we can see this already happening in the different places. But he keeps on telling in both the passages you read,
yeah,
that please don't get worried.
Mm.
So, one, I think it's a way of strengthening us sometimes for the first passage in
Thessalonians.
When someone dies, I think we should not be worried, mainly if the person is a believer, know that we will meet again. Second coming, and it's clear stated that they will come out of their graves and they will come down with the Lord, and those that are living will come up and will meet. So there is hope that we shall always meet again with the people of the Lord that depart this world. So yeah, but it's a great reminder that indeed, since the time and date are not known, as Christians, we just need to continue believing that it's going to happen tomorrow.
Amen.
That we're not caught by surprise. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yes, it can happen tomorrow. It can happen today. I know, you know, when people are about to get married and you preach this message, they say, no, Jesus, just wait a bit. Let me first get married. And then when the children come, you say, just hold on, God. Let the children grow, you know. And eventually people, yes, we want the Lord to come, but at times we we in our own thinking we push it, but there is no greater joy, and the Bible describes it as a great feast. On that great feast, when men shall come from the east, from the west, and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and we shall all sit with the Lord. The Bible describes it as a great marriage feast. It's like it will be something beyond our understanding. And yes, we think there is glory here, but the glory that we shall have with the Lord shall be beyond our wildest imaginations. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you. I give you glory. I thank you that, Lord, you have not left us ignorant, O God. You do not want us to grieve like those who have no hope, but you want us to know and to be reminded that those who died in you shall awaken on the day that you come back, and they shall rise first. And you also tell us that even before this day comes, there shall be trouble, there shall be rumors of war, there shall be earthquakes, there shall be tough days, there shall be pestilences, there shall be earthquakes. And yet these are not the signs of the end. They are just the beginning of birth pains. But in your word, you remind us that we need to endure to the end, that even though sin increases, even though the love of many grow cold, you call us to keep our fires burning, like the virgins, that we, the wise virgins, that we keep oil in our lamps. Give us oil, O God, fresh oil, O God, this morning, that indeed may our hearts be kept burning, may our hearts be kept alive, and that the fire may not grow cold. And indeed, may we be the witnesses that will preach the gospel to the nations until then the end shall come, that indeed we shall be a witness. And I pray not only as we witness, O God, may they hear the gospel and live, because anyone that hears the Son of the Lord, the voice of the Son of God, shall live and shall cross over from death to life. I pray for our family members. I pray for our brothers, our sisters, our children, our spouses. O God, I pray for your hand over them, O God. Remember our work colleagues. We know there are many responsibilities around us. I pray for your wisdom. Give us the courage, the ability, and the strength to be able to stand firm to the end, O God. Indeed, where there are needs, intervene, O God. And indeed, rebuke the devourer on our behalf. Rebuke the works of evil. Every weapon that is fashioned against us, we rebuke it and we block it, and we cast it down in the name of Jesus. I pray that everything that we do, may you go ahead of us, keep and sustain us, watch over us, and be with us. Blessed be your name. And even as we go ahead of us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed, blessed morning, my brother, and have a good day. Yeah. Bye-bye. Shalom.